been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Tuesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, on this last full week, trading week of the year in the market. We are off to a pretty good start here again today. We've had a good run here. We think we can thank our friend Jerome Powell for delivering here with his pivot, which we the long-awaited pivot and a brand new dot plot just in time for Christmas. We got the Dow up 135 right now. That puts it at 37,441. That is an all-time high once again. The NASDAQ is up 40. It's at 14,945. It's got to get above 16,000 to hit an all-time high, but it's headed in that direction. The S&P is up 12 right now, 4,753, closing in on its all-time high of about 4,800. The Russell 2000 is up 33 points right now. That's a 1.7% move. I'm seeing some action in the small caps. The crude oil is up 83 cents to 73.30 as the shipping lanes clogged over there in the Red Sea by the Houthi rebels, and the 10-year is at 3.92%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. I'm Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, been a professional money manager for the last 24 years. And a radio host for the last 24 years. We'll be joined by Barry Kite here in a bit. He's wrapping up some business. He is our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And we've had quite a win streak here in the market recently. And, you know, we've been saying how closely the market is attached to interest rates right now. And the bond market, and of course, we have had a massive drop. Look, we were over 5% just a few months ago, and now we're under 4%. We've had a more than a 100 basis point drop in interest rates. And of course, that what that does, earnings didn't really change. The earnings picture has not changed over this last couple of months where we've seen this rally in the market. What has changed is the multiple in the middle. And that is greatly impacted by interest rates. As interest rates go down, the multiple of the market expands. It's also known as the P.E. ratio. And last year, in 2022, as interest rates went up, the multiple contracted. The P.E. got cleared down to 15.5 last year after being as high as 23. In time. So you've seen a very unusual, but it's also a lesson. The earnings picture has not changed at all, and yet you've seen a wild swings in the market, and it's all been due to interest rates and the multiples. So there's a big lesson for you as we go forward in the years to come as in your investing lifetime. Remember that strong link to interest rates. That's why we watch interest rates so closely here, because they have a massive impact on equities, on the stock market. They have a massive impact on real estate. Interest rates have a massive impact on the precious metals. So they are very, very critical to keep an eye on. And that's why Jerome Powell and his Fed wield so much power. Because with one little swing of the bat or a few words here or there, they can make massive moves in the market, because a change in the multiple can happen just like that. I mean, instantly. Whereas a change in earnings estimates, that's more of a glacial move. That happens very quickly or very slowly, unless there's a big change in the world, some kind of event such as COVID, where we did see a big drop in earnings expectations because a lot of companies were closed for several months. Anyways, here we are. We're in the last week of the trading year. We've had about 7 or 8 weeks in a row of gains. We had a pretty good day yesterday. At least the NASDAQ did. The Dow was flat. The Fabulous 7 had another good day yesterday. And they're off to a pretty good day here today. I haven't had a real chance to look underneath the hood of the market. We'll do that in the final segment of the show. I have noticed quite a bit of spreading out away from the large mega caps. There's not that many mega caps in the market. I'm going to say there's about a dozen, you know, these trillion-dollar companies that didn't even exist 25 years ago. And now they dominate the world, dominate the market, dominate the indexes. Will they lead the market again in 2024? Well, it's highly doubtful that they're going to dominate the market next year like they have this year. I've seen a big spreading out of money, chasing more lower PE and smaller companies. Anything from a mega cap, I mean, everything is smaller compared to a mega cap. So there's money going into large caps. There's money going into mid caps. And I've seen a pretty good flow of money going into small caps. There's a lot of big firms out there making a case for small caps this year. They definitely have a lower PE ratio than market. We're up around 20 right now. That's rich. We're at 20 for the S&P 500. Those are 500 large cap stocks, and the small caps are down around 15. Small caps also benefit from lower interest rates. Interest rates falling. That's why they have done so poorly over the last couple of years, because we've had a rotten interest rate environment for them. Okay, housing starts. It's amazing how much the housing market has stood up here and even breaking out to new all-time highs. The number one sector in the market, according to the Best Stocks Now app, which ranks 66 sectors, I believe as of last week it was the home building sector, still ranked number one. And that, I think that there has to be a big shortage of homes out there, because the interest rate environment surely is not favorable to the housing sector. Yet housing starts up 14.8% to 156 million. Building permits down a little bit, but that tells me that there continues to be a shortage in housing. And I have also seen it in the building supply companies, which have done very, very well. The roofing companies, or the people that sell the materials for roofing, building supplies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those have all been strong areas in the market here in 2023. Once again, despite a poor interest rate environment, inflation continues to drift out of here like the Canadian wildfires and the smoke thereof. Canada, their inflation rate is 3.1% in November. That's the lowest it's been in a long time. And get this, here's the shocker of the day. The euro area inflation drops to 2.4%. 2.4% in November. So I don't see any more rate hikes in the cards in 2024. The pivot has happened. Everybody was waiting for the pivot, which is a Fed that's on the war path, hiking interest rates, to a Fed that now is looking for opportunities to cut interest rates. The Houthi threat remains a big one. Will that expand the war? It has become more of a regional conflict now with what's going on in southern Lebanon there and northern Israel with the Hezbollah. We also have the Houthi rebels down in the Red Sea. That's impacting Saudi Arabia. That's impacting Maersk lines. It's impacting the U.S. Navy, who has been fired on down there. Something has to give. Well, the U.S. formed a naval task force to protect the ships in the Red Sea. Well, I hope our Navy can handle that assignment. I mean, after all, these Houthi rebels are not exactly a crack team of Navy SEALs or anything like that. They're pretty rinky dink outfit, but they're causing a lot of trouble down there in the Red Sea, and it's impacting oil prices. So we hope that we can get that straightened out without it turning into World War III. Holiday shopping hits its stretch run as traffic stays strong. I see these poor FedEx drivers, Amazon drivers. We got hammered with rain here on Sunday. I mean, we just absolutely got hammered. And yet I saw the FedEx drivers running to the homes, dropping off the presents in the driving rain. So God bless the delivery folks at this time of year. Okay, when we come back, a little bit of macro outlook and then some individual stocks. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I want to just talk a little bit more about small cap stocks. Small cap stocks in today's world, you know, the bar keeps moving, Barry. We got Barry back with us. The bar keeps moving now that we have $3 trillion companies out there, right? Like Apple.
Yeah, what is a small cap? Right?
Yeah, that's $20 million or below, somewhere in that neighborhood. I'd have to look up what the current guidelines are to call something a small cap. I've got to make some adjustments in my app, in fact, because that bar just keeps moving.
Rising.
Yeah, Morgan Stanley, our friends at Morgan Stanley are making a case for small caps in 2024. I did buy a new small cap stock, added a new small cap stock to one of our portfolios yesterday. I think it's a very compelling idea. It comes, it's one of my top, probably my top ranked small cap right now. Could be in play. You can get the newsletter this weekend and find out what it was. And I also added to my second favorite small cap stock yesterday, one that we already own. And those alerts, they go out to my subscribers. First, I send out an alert, and clients that want live alerts when I make changes in any one of the five portfolios that I manage. They got an alert first saying I'm taking a new position in such and such stock. And the reason why I liked it, I put my target price out there. And then the other one was, as new clients come in, maybe they're all cash or they got a big chunk of cash. And I see one of the stocks that I already own for my other clients. I add that to their portfolio when it comes down to a nice level. And I did that yesterday also with another small cap. Now, why are small caps all of a sudden getting all of this interest? The biggest reason is interest rates. Once again, right. There's that term, interest rates. They suffer mightily in a high interest rate environment. It's tough for them to borrow, to grow, to get credit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now that interest rates are coming down, it also expands the multiple on small caps. And they, of all the different asset classes in the stock market, have the lowest multiple. The mega caps, I'm going to guess the mega caps are up around 35, 40, somewhere in there. The S&P 500, which is much more spread out than the mega caps, is somewhere in the 20 range right now, when the long-term average has been more in the 17 to 18 range. I don't think the current interest rate environment really supports a 20 multiple. Therefore, I think at some point we're going to get some selling in these mega caps. I don't think it's going to happen between now and December 31st because you've got a lot of big profits, unrealized gains, And when you sell those stocks, if it's not in an IRA, you've turned that into a realized gain. So I just think in January, the first few weeks of January, we could see some selling in those fabulous seven. So small caps are benefiting from a couple of things. And I think it's a natural to rotate from mega caps to the other end. The pendulum swings, and if you're going to swing to the other far end of the pendulum, it would be small caps. So Morgan Stanley is saying that to keep your eye on the small caps this year. They think they look compelling over a long-term investment. Of course, I've heard that for years. Okay,
that's the scary
and
part, right?
And they've continued to be big underperformers. Big underperformers. If you look at the... If you put up the Russell 2000 over the last 5 years, okay, in fact, I'm going to do that right now. We're going to go to the app. Let's use the IWM, which is a small cap ETF, and let's look at its performance versus the S&P 500. Over the last 12 months, while the S&P's up 21%, the small cap Russell 2000 is only up 9%, okay? So small caps have underperformed by a wide margin here over the last several years in the small against the S&P 500. But it's all about the future. What will the future bring? I'm seeing quite a few people saying, take a look at the small caps. Okay, does Tylenol cause... autism. That's the latest court case. Kenview, which was spun off from, Merck. I can't remember one of those. Kenview gains after a victory in the case over Tylenol's purported links to autism. And there's also other companies involved here. Which would be, you know, anybody who sells Tylenol, CVS, Walgreens, etc. So anyways, as for now, the courts aren't finding any link between Tylenol and two things, autism or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Well, have the medical folks found it?
No.
The court's one thing. I'd rather hear from the medical folks first.
Yes.
I guess.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, they argued their case in front of the courts, and I guess the courts believed expert evidence and everything. So, anyways, there's been a lot of theories as to autism. There's one thing we know. There's a big increase in autism over the last 20 or 30 years. Now, whether we didn't recognize it before, I don't think that's the case. I think there has been a big increase. Some point to vaccines, right. Some point to processed foods, and now you've got some pointing to Tylenol. And as at least of now, that's not not a link that's being found there.
Even aluminum and ago, right?
It was
aluminum cans. You know, so there's a lot of chemicals out there, and they affect our bodies in different ways, right?
Yes.
And so it's a
well. Boeing gets another order. Boeing's had a really good year, by the way. Boeing really started to stumble there earlier, maybe the middle of the year. We sold our Boeing. I didn't get back into it. I just went in another direction. I mean, the market was really favoring more of the tech as opposed to Boeing, which would be more of an industrial aerospace. But Boeing's had a good year. It's up 38.7% so far, and they just got an order for 100 planes from Lufthansa. Apple is going to $4 trillion, says Dan Ives.
Well,
Dan Ives has never met an Apple he didn't like.
That's right. Doesn't matter. Gala, Granny Smith, doesn't matter. He likes all Apples. Right?
Okay, well, I'm just going to go into the beststocksnowapp.com. Apple, here's my problem. It's the valuation. It's the valuation right now. The valuation is not very favorable. I show upside potential of 51% over the next 5 years. Well, you say that's 8 or 9% a year, but I require 75 to 80%. It gets an F plus value grade at this level. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'll make one more argument, Barry, for small cap, mid cap stocks. As I, you know, I keep a running list of, buy candidates on a daily basis and watch those stocks very, very closely. Obviously, I'm finding a lot more opportunities right now in the small and mid cap arena than I am in the mega cap arena. You really think you're going to find a value, a decent value amongst the mega caps, which were up 46% this year and are trading at 40 times earnings? So therein, you know, therein lies the beauty of active investing and being unconstrained. I'm not tied to large cap, mega cap, or large and mega cap high growth stocks. As the market starts to shift and change, you know, I can go anywhere that I want to go, and it's going to be where the market goes, okay? So, obviously, this is just logic. We're finding a lot more opportunities right now in the ones that have been, if I were to pick one area that's been most left behind, because it's at the exact one's at the North Pole, mega cap, high growth stock. And at the South Pole is small cap value, right? Small cap value. So anyways, and then of course at the equator, you've got, mid cap growth or mid cap value, something like that.
And you hit the nail on the head with the cost of, their small caps, their cost of capital, right? Is decreasing as interest rates go down or as credit conditions, loosen up. They're better able to, they tend to have much harder time to, get credit, really a harder time to roll over their debt. A lot of times a small cap's not issuing a 10-year bond. They're getting, they may issue a 3 to 5 year bond and they need to continually, re-up those bonds along the way. And as interest rates go up, it hurts their ability to do so. And in a environment where you have some loosening credit or loosening interest rates, that should be a tailwind for them.
Yes, and valuation's also a big tailwind. You've got the mega caps trading at 40, and you've got the small caps trading at 15. I've probably never seen a more a better setup. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but the setup is pretty compelling for smaller stocks here in 2024. Apple Mole Software, they've stopped selling their watches for now. They pulled them off the market.
Yeah, they're going to stop. I think taking them off shelves by Christmas Day, which I've heard arguments that it, one thing is it, their watches are flying off the shelves because people are going to buy them before they do come off the shelf. But yeah, they've got, it's kind of an interesting, it's a $17 billion, piece of their business, their annual revenues, I believe. And, the technology, they're doing they're going to do a software update to change, how they're reading blood oxygen levels.
That's what it all comes down to is blood oxygen levels. Which, you know,
it's
I
an
have
important
a thing
from COVID, right?
It's that an wasn't, important
that's
thing.
Why they, that's kind yes. of why it took off, why, you know, knowing your blood oxygen level.
But they violated somebody's patent, Masimo, which is an Italian medical instrument, pretty good stock, too, over the years.
And it shoots a light. I didn't really even know.
I mean,
I'm wearing the watch. I probably should know, but, you know, it shoots light into your skin and to measure the blood oxygen level. I don't even. There, but I'm kind of concerned now. Is that okay?
All I know, if it's under 90, head to the or 30 or something. I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. Okay, Nick, I remember seeing an interview many years ago. Stuart Varney was interviewing Trevor Milton, who was the founder of Nikola, which was, you know, Tesla's first name.
Oh,
and when I saw this guy, you know, I really was kind of looking at, I like that Nikola story. It was a SPAC. It was one of the hottest SPACs in the entire market. And after I saw the interview with him, I said, this guy's a fraud. I was right. I sold my Nikola, and I mean, it was trading at a pretty lofty level, maybe $30, $40 a share. Trevor Milton is going to get 4 years in prison now for fraud. He's the guy they were rolling these big trucks downhill
right.
in Utah, where there's a lot of hills, and saying, look, it's running on our hydrogen-fueled battery. But the thing where I said, this guy's a fraud, he says, well, you're even going to have a drinking fountain in the car where you can drink water that has been processed by the engines, and it's going to come out ice cold. For a nice cold drink, I said, you know what? This guy is over the top.
And yeah, so, that's a bell and whistle that you don't you don't really need. And it's,
is it going to boil your soup too? Yeah, make you soup and everything?
Yeah, it's a magic trick. It only works because you know, the audience is distracted. Right?
He'll get a nice glass of water along with some bread in prison. He made a lot of money out of the deal, though, and his brother was involved. And the company still exists. They're down. I saw their headquarters down in Arizona near Phoenix. And I thought, well, you know, there's something there. They had a couple hundred employees. I don't know what they're doing these days. Here's a new one. Tennessee is suing BlackRock over misleading ESG strategies. Isn't that strange? You know, they said that BlackRock changed their tune over a while, made misleading statements about environmental, social, and government, which, you know, we read a story here earlier this week or late last week about how a lot of these ETFs built on on ESG are now folding because there was not – the returns were bad, number one, and number two, there's not that much interest by investors. You know, investors want returns. Investors want results. And I don't know that they care that much about ESG. That's just my observations of 24 years talking to people in, you know, clients and whatnot.
Yeah, and well, you know, in my past, I had a financial planning practice in Nashville for 12 years and actually talked a good bit with the folks that ran the pension in, you know, out of Tennessee. And for the longest time, I'm not even sure, maybe they allow it now, but for the longest time, you know, they were hampered and their returns were lower than others because, you know, than other states because they weren't allowed to invest in any basically any Chinese company. And of course, you know, you think of the Chinese boom, right, between say, you know, after the financial crisis to say 2015. Well, you know, you cut a part of the market out, right? You know, and they weren't even willing to invest in it. And that was, I believe that also included not just companies domiciled there, but companies that earned a certain percentage of their revenues there.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, you could potentially cut out an Apple, right, or some other name during that whole period. And so, you know, the thing about socially responsible investing is you're limiting your you are cutting down.
You never want to limit. You want to be unconstrained.
Your investment set. Right.
And I have had people come to us and say, I want to make sure that you don't invest just in ESG companies. I said, no, I'm unconstrained. I'm sure I do invest in some ESG companies because of their returns and their valuations. Okay, what about AMD this year? Here's a good article. What to expect from AMD? Well, I'm just going to consult the Best Stocks Now app. AMD is now a $225 billion company. It was down 65% during the year that the Fed was hiking rates. Here's another testament to the fact of the impact of interest rates on stocks. Okay, this year we're looking at about a doubling, a 100% gain let's see, 2023 year to date, 115%, when last year it was down 55%. But that's the past, okay? We're investing in the future. It's too bad we can't invest in the past. We invest in the future instead, and that's where I look to valuation. That's why I think it's so important in a quant system. How can you make a quant system that does not take into account valuation, Barry? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Because a quant system by nature is backwards looking. It's all built on momentum. And I said to myself, 12 years ago or whatever it was, I said, you've got to put the future expectations in. That's how the market trades on future earnings expectations. That's half the puzzle. And I included that in my revolutionary quant system. That includes forward valuations. Okay, right now, AMD, best case scenario, and I'm giving it a pretty generous growth rate, which is actually pretty hard to predict right now. I'm using 12% growth over the next per year over the next 5 years, which may be pretty generous. I come up with 60% upside potential, which is subpar. It gets a value grade, a D. I think you're going to see some selling in these stocks because of these high valuation issues come the first part of the year. And I'll have to make some decisions, some tough decisions on, because we own a lot of these stocks at the current time. We'll be right back. We're going to take a look underneath the hood of the market. Get your flashlights ready. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Barry, I would just say one other thing that is a little bit more on the logical side. At the North Pole, you've got high price to earnings, price to sales, price to cash flow, price to book value stocks. And at the South Pole, you've got low P.E., low price to cash flow, low price to sales, low price to book value stocks, okay? It would seem to me that another natural flow in the market in 2024 would be a shift towards lower PE stocks. Now, high PE, generally speaking, and I don't know where you draw the line between a growth stock and a value stock these days. There's not a lot of value stocks out there. But, you know, you're beating stocks, beating down stocks are your Pfizer's, Stellantis, GM, your automakers, eBay, things that are just out of favor right now, and they're trading at low PE ratios, Walgreens, etc. They're not all that exciting. And at the top, you know, is NVIDIA and AMD and Google and Meta and all of the high PE stocks. There was a great book. I spent quite a bit of time studying contrarian investing. And David Dreeman did some studies dividing the market into quintiles, fifths. Okay. And in the top fifth was the highest PE stocks, and the lowest were the lowest PE stocks. And he found that over time, now this was done back in the 90s, I want to say, he found over time that the low PE stocks outperformed the high PE stocks. Now, I doubt that that's true if you look at the last 10 to 20 years, because we've had such a kind of an evolution in the market, tech, and a revolution in the market. But money does
and tend. Lower interest rates.
I mean, yeah,
lower interest rates, which ballooned PE ratios, right? In terms of average PE ratio, used to be, you know, in the 13-15 range.
Yeah.
And now it's in the 17 to 20, you know, it's been as high as 23, right?
And his study was done in a time when interest rates were sky high for the most part, up in the 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 area.
Yeah, and at worst, the normal kind of, you know, Fed funds rate probably during that time was, you know, right around 5 or 5 and a quarter, really close to where we're at now, honestly.
But I think if somebody has a 401k and, you know, usually you have growth funds available to you, value funds available to you, stock funds available to you, bond funds available to you. I think a little bit of exposure to small cap value, mid cap value, large cap value, which we have shunned. I mean, absolutely shunned over the last several years. I just think from a logical and just kind of a natural flow point of view, you're probably seeing a pretty good setup for value stocks in 2024, which have been, you know, nobody's wanted to even hear that word, value. These poor value investors, that, you know, a lot of them have been driven out of business with a truly disciplined value fund that, you know, invest in low PE, low price to cash flow, low price to sale. They've been clobbered. They've just been clobbered. They have underperformed significantly. The money flows towards performance. So the money, there's been just a riptide of money flowing towards performance, which has been found in the high PE stocks. You know, money flowed in 2000 towards the dot-coms because of the performance. And they were trading on thin air. I mean, they really, on helium. They had no underlying fundamentals for the most part. And eventually, that all that money that crowded into that trade, like a helium balloon when it's popped, that's about how quickly that happened back in the year 2000. We've had a pretty rational market. I mean, the wildest year I've seen was the COVID year. The year after the COVID year, 2021, where everybody rushed into the spike. That's the year Kathy Woods was up 150% or whatever. I think she's going to have a tough time in 2023, 2024 with her high PE stocks. Because I think there's going to be a natural flow to the lower PE, let's call them value stocks. So, you know, we call our funds premier growth, ultra growth, emerging growth. That doesn't mean I can't own I'm looking for growth of the portfolio. Okay. So I don't have to own a 40% growth stock in there. I'm unconstrained. Who knows? Maybe I end up with a Pfizer or a Stellantis in there. I'm looking for the best upside potential.
Yeah, you can own a United Health, the hospital, you know, stock next to NVIDIA, right?
So it may be a little bit more boring next year. The returns are definitely going to be more muted. I mean, hey, if you look at the best target price out there right now, you're at $5,100 basically on a one-year target price. That's kind of the best that I've seen. That came from Goldman Sachs. We're at $4,800 right now. Okay, so you're looking at 6-7% upside. That's if we hit 5,100. And so maybe, I mean, if you're going to get alpha out of the market next year, it may be that you have to tilt towards lower PE stocks. Okay, now I'm starting to see early signs of that. It's too hard to write an article for Seeking Alpha and call a major shift into value. But that would seem to be the most logical place for the market to go in 2024. And I would say that the stock that we picked up yesterday tends to be more of a small cap value stock, which is at the opposite end of the spectrum from mega cap growth. So there, that's my observation so far. And the more I look every day, the more the data will add up, you know, the more facts we'll have to make some decisions. And we make one decision at a time. We don't make a big, massive decision to sell everything growth, everything with the PE over 30, and shift it the other way, which a lot of institutions do that. They rebalance in big ways. We do it one stock at a time and in a very methodical manner. Now, if you'd like to sign up with us here in 2024, you can begin with the newsletter. That's a good place to start. You're going to see the changes I make in those portfolios after a really good year here in 2023. You can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. But better yet, to have us managing your money and watching for these subtle changes and making moves when we think it's appropriate, give us a call, set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.